that McCain wasn't the only one. He was the only one in Congress, in the Senate, to stand up to the Bush policy and to Donald Rumsfeld and said, no, what we're doing is not working. What we need is just a surge. And, you know, the McCain surge, it's showing now, you know, it's evident that it's working. So I don't know if we should be in Iraq, though, but, you know, if we're going to destroy the infrastructure, you know, destroy the country, I certainly think we need to rebuild it. And I think
Matt Gallagher, we're going to leave it there. Matt Gallagher and Daniel Wick. Matt Gallagher from St. Olaf College, campaigning for John McCain. Daniel Wick, also from St. Olaf College, supporting Ron Paul. They are speaking to us from Manchester. That does it for our show, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Berkshire, Ufo Dukaduce, Aaron Mata, Angelique Comet, Jeffrey Hagerman, Nicole Salazar. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you heard Democracy Now! Here on WUSP Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. An exciting Tuesday evening. I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm pretty excited. I'm not usually excited. It's primary night in New Hampshire. Yeah, I never thought I'd get excited over something like this, but it just seems like we're on the verge of something interesting here. With this, what they're calling the Obama surge. It's like some kind of tidal surge, except there's a human behind it. And after what happened in Iowa last week, apparently we could be seeing the end of the Hillary campaign. And that to me is exciting. That's exciting news. So that's what I'd like to talk about tonight. In fact, I'd like to get phone calls about that tonight, because we have no say in what goes on up there. And nobody I know gets to vote. So maybe this is the only opportunity we'll have to voice our opinions. So write down the phone number, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. As we come to you on this 8th day of January, 2008, on what was a fine spring day in the middle of January, or at the beginning of January, I don't know what's going on. Global warming or just... I don't know if it's the economy that's causing this, but temperatures in the 60s in New York in early January, come on. We can do better than that. I just got back from Germany a couple days ago. It's cold over there. It's supposed to be cold in the wintertime, and it feels good to be cold. It can be warm in the other parts of the year. And, you know, those people who live in the parts of the country where it never gets cold, maybe you don't understand this, but here in the north... We expect winter in the winter and summer in the summer, and anything else is just a big disappointment. So hopefully next week when I come your way, it'll be freezing. Maybe there'll be snow on the ground like it's supposed to be. That's all I ever want, is for things to be the way they're supposed to be. Nothing else, nothing abnormal, nothing out of the ordinary. Just pure normalcy. All right. And speaking of normalcy, well, normalcy is about to be thrown on its ear, apparently, because out of nowhere it seems, Barack Obama has stunned the naysayers. And there are plenty of naysayers who said he was unelectable, and now all of a sudden, he's the front runner. The front runner. I'm surprised. I'm stunned. I've had this argument with many, many people over the last year or so, ever since he announced his candidacy. Emmanuel, it's a nice thought. It's a nice thought to have a black president, but you know what? We're not ready for it. We're not ready. The time isn't right. Well, gosh, folks, you know, if the time has never been more right, as far as I'm concerned, for a major change. Now, granted, this guy may not even bring major change to our country as far as policy and things like that. I mean, this is a guy who was talking the other night about doing some kind of military mission in Pakistan without their permission, things like that, although I do think he was sort of being pushed into it. But think of it, just the symbolism alone. You could ride on the fumes of that for a very long time. To go from George W. Bush to an African-American who actually is able to speak in such amazing tones as to put George W. Bush, well, I guess that's not that hard, is it, to put him so far in the basement. But to go from the poorest speaker in the world to one of the better speakers that I've heard in many years, that is a statement right there. To have an African-American elected, that's a statement right there. To have somebody with a Muslim background, he's not Muslim himself, but he has a Muslim background. His middle name is Hussein. Hussein, yeah. I mean, what kind of message does that send to the world? That maybe there's hope for us, that we're not so closed-minded and shallow, that we only elect white-haired white men with millionaire backgrounds. It could be a whole new beginning just based on that alone, before he even does a single thing. And I have hope, I have faith that anybody elected to that office after these last 8 dark years, of which the year coming up is still one of them, anybody will pass better legislation, will make for dramatic change, and will do a much better job than what we have right now. So yeah, I'm excited. And I'm also excited because being faced with the prospect of Hillary Clinton in the White House, it just wasn't doing it for me. I'm sorry, it just wasn't. And in fact, I said this a year or so ago, that this is the Democrats' strategy for losing in 2008. Because it's going to be damn difficult to lose the presidency in 2008. But they're going to give it a shot. And by running Hillary, they've got that shot. And I still think that there are so many people that she just rubs the wrong way. And you can count me amongst them, because there's just something about, I do not trust her. I don't trust her. To me, she represents the way things are right now. And if you want to, maybe bring that down to a more communal level, she to me represents the assistant principal that you never want to get sent to see when you're in high school. Because she's the one that's just going to tear your insides out and give you that stare and say those harsh words. Oh, gives me shivers to this day. Whereas Obama, he's the principal. He's the guy that you don't want to get sent to see him either. But if you do get to be in the same room with him, he's going to lecture you, and you're just going to have to listen to his words of wisdom. And sometimes that could be as painful as being berated. So there's your high school analogy there. So anyway, the way all this is panning out, for those of you listening in other parts of the world, or maybe other parts of your consciousness, and you don't understand quite how the U.S. electoral system works, I don't either. I don't think anybody really does. But for some reason, the state of Iowa gets all of this say. They're always the first. In fact, everybody moved it up a little bit this year. I don't know if you realize, but usually this happens in February. And here we are in January, and all these states moved their primaries up to, I think, the first week of February, and then Iowa just moved theirs up until January. And I don't know. I don't know how. Why can't New York just say, you know what, we're doing this in November of 2006. So there. But apparently you get penalized for doing that. The parties penalize you. They say that your delegates don't count. I don't know why. Why do they penalize them? Why is that bad? Why do we have this system to start with? I don't get it. I don't get any vote. Most people I know don't get any vote. If you're not registered with one of the parties, if you don't claim your allegiance to one of the political parties in this country, you get no say in who the candidates will be. Oh, you get a say on election day, but by then, it's down to two people, and it's pretty much all over. And again, just to ensure that you feel completely powerless and helpless, the popular vote does not count, as we learned in 2000. It's all the Electoral College, and your state goes either one way or another. So if you vote Democrat and your state goes Republican, your vote doesn't even count. What's the point? Why do people even bother to vote? I've often wondered. But all that said, these are exciting times, and I just have the feeling. I have the feeling that 2008 is going to be a watershed in this country where we actually take a step in a direction that's slightly different. Slightly different. But I never would have guessed. Never would have guessed that it would have come to this so soon, so quickly, that we would have the strong potential of an African-American president. And a young guy, too. My God, this guy's younger than me. I knew that day was going to come at some point, but wow. When the president of the United States is younger than you, then you know you're getting old. But at least this guy is young, so maybe not that old. But JFK was, 42 when he was elected? Not the youngest, but certainly younger than, say, McCain, who's 71. And yeah, all the other candidates, they annoy me for various reasons. So far, Obama has not annoyed me. I'm sure he will. And I'm sure if he gets elected, he's going to annoy me a lot. And I'm not even speaking about the person. Is it me or is there wind howling in here? I hear wind howling. How could I be hearing wind howling? I'm inside, and there's not even a window in this room. Let me turn the mic up, see if our listeners can hear this. Well, now I don't hear it, because the electronic noise around the... But there is a wind whistling noise somewhere. I'm not losing my mind, am I? Okay, I'm told I'm not losing my mind, but I've been told that before, usually by people who then take me to a rubber room of some sort. But anyway, okay, let's get back to the presidential candidates so that their insanity will eclipse mine. We have all these other candidates, and this is what annoyed me about them fairly recently. I was in Germany when Benazir Bhutto was assassinated. That, you know, to me, that wasn't really that much of a surprise. It was horrible and very depressing when it happened, because that kind of thing just is expected, it seems. And I got to say, you know, it was dumb to stand up in the car and become vulnerable like that. But I got to say, the protection afforded her by Musharraf was not exactly first class. That kind of thing doesn't happen to him, does it? Whether or not he's waving out of a car or not, he's not facing the same kind of danger. And it's just his track record is rather bad. I mean, right when the Supreme Court was about to rule on whether or not he could become president, what does he do? He imposes martial law and prevents them from ever saying what their opinion is, and therefore ensures that he will become president and stay president as long as he wants. All right, that's not good. Claiming that it's because of al-Qaeda that he had to impose martial law, but actually arresting all the lawyers and judges, the true enemies of democracy. So when Benazir Bhutto is assassinated mere days before the election that she's expected to win against him, you gotta sort of be a little suspicious. And I'm sure a lot of people in Pakistan are. So, okay, Benazir Bhutto gets assassinated, and everybody who's running for president in the United States has a statement. And I found these statements, tracked them all down on their various websites. I'm just going to focus on the Democrats because we only have an hour. And I just would like to focus on the Democrats tonight. I know there's a whole other party there that has a snowball's chance in hell of winning, but never mind that. Here's what Hillary Clinton said on the death of Benazir Bhutto. "I am profoundly saddened and outraged by the assassination of Benazir Bhutto, a leader of tremendous political and personal courage. I came to know Mrs. Bhutto over many years during her tenures as prime minister and during her years in exile." Okay, let's stop you right there. You couldn't just say you were sad and that this was a bad thing. You gotta brag about the fact that I know her. Yeah. I shook her hand. She knows my name. Well, she did know my name. John Edwards. "I want to say a word about the terrible tragedy that occurred in Pakistan earlier today. It's a terrible thing for the process of democratization in Pakistan. It's a terrible thing for the stability of Pakistan. And it's very important that we, America, and those of us..." Did he have to say who we are? Don't we know we're America? I guess... maybe some of us don't. Okay, "we, America, and those of us who are running for president of the United States, be a strengthening and calming influence in these kinds of times. I met the former prime minister a few years..." Okay, you see, same thing. Bragging. "We spoke together at a conference. She spoke about the importance of the democratization process." Ugh. Joe Biden. Okay, you know how this is going to go, right? Joe Biden. "This is a terrible day. My heart goes out to Benazir Bhutto's family, friends, and followers. Like her father before her, Benazir Bhutto worked her whole life and gave her life to help Pakistan become a democratic, secular, and modern Muslim country. She was a woman of extraordinary courage who returned to Pakistan in the face of death threats, and even after an assassination attempt the day of her return, she did not flinch. It was a privilege to know her these many years and to call her a friend." Come on. I know he's no longer in the race, but come on. And then Obama. Yes, Barack Obama. "I am shocked and saddened by the death of Benazir Bhutto in this terrorist atrocity. She was a respected and resilient advocate for the democratic aspirations of the Pakistani people. We join with them in mourning her loss and stand with them in their quest for democracy and against the terrorists who threaten the common security of the world." Period. Now, granted, maybe he didn't know her, but the fact of the matter is, it's irrelevant to making a statement like this. And I just got the sense from those other guys that they were just using that to push their platform that, yeah, I've got experience. I've met the leaders of the world. It doesn't matter who you've met. It matters how you think. It matters the kinds of decisions you'll make. It matters who you listen to. Obviously, if you're elected president, you're going to meet a whole lot of people. And you'd better be able to understand what they're saying and interpret their various differing opinions and reach resolutions of sorts. That's what it's all about, not who you know. All right, so that right there, that kind of set me off against just about everybody, and I'm pleased that Obama got it right as far as that goes. Okay, what else? I want to get to some letters, and well, I guess I should talk a little bit about some experiences I've had over the past couple of weeks. And again, we'll be taking phone calls later about the whole electoral thing, assuming people are interested. And if people aren't interested, I'd like to know why. But we'll do that maybe about, I don't know, what do you say, 35, 40 past the hour? It's 18 past the hour now for those of you without clocks. So write down the number, 631-632-9872, and we'll take phone calls. This, the first show of 2008. And I predict 2008 is going to be a very interesting year. And I predict if there's another clip show that I'll be using this sentence to start it off. Yeah. But we'll see if that actually happens. Yeah, we had a clip show last week. For those of you who listened on the 1st, January 1st, 2008, we did sort of a rundown of the various things that happened in 2007. And boy, a lot of things happened. Well, a lot of things for me. I traveled all over the place, went to North Korea, Singapore, and all sorts of other places. But there are also all kinds of historical things as well. Shows online, www.2600.com/off-the-wall. In fact, all of the shows are online. It's kind of scary. All right, so I was at the Chaos Communication Congress in Berlin, which takes place every year on December 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. No matter what day of the week it is, I always like that fact. It's smacked right in the middle of between Christmas and New Year's, and Berlin just being a great place to hang out. Just to get away from the insanity in this country that surrounds the whole holiday season. All this gift buying and mall crowding and various other unpleasantness that seems to take place this time of year. A simple thing, okay? A simple thing like buying a greeting card is living hell. It really is. Have you gone through this? First of all, you can buy greeting cards anywhere now. You can go to 7-Eleven, you can go to a drugstore, you can go to a supermarket, you can go to a gas station. You go anywhere and you can buy greeting cards. It doesn't make the process any easier, though. Because you have to find something that works. And they always have exactly what doesn't work. Case in point, we have a maintenance guy who takes care of various things that break down. All right, and it's traditional at the end of the year to give him a little bit of cash along with a card. All I wanted really was a card that said, "Hey, thanks. Thanks for all the stuff you do. Be seeing you." Whatever, you know, just that kind of thing. Nothing sappy, nothing emotional. But instead, the nonsense. You see a card that's perfect, you know, perfect for holding exactly how much cash you want to put in the thing. And it's, "We must bow down in praise to the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, too religious. Too religious, all right? Another one. Puppies and kittens and little birds and rats or whatever else is cute. Too cutesy poo. Not appropriate for the maintenance guy. Then I thought I found the one that had almost no words at all. Just thanks so much for your help. And then they have to go and ruin it by putting at the end of it, "For the man in my life." Okay, come on. That's a little too homoerotic for the maintenance guy. I just wanted a card that said, "Thanks. Here's some money. Now we don't have to communicate at all for the next year." I wound up just getting something that didn't actually fit the cash. Just had a picture of a flower or something. It was so hard. It's 20 minutes of my life just standing around looking. And they have all these really weird greeting cards. Like, "Season's greetings from your son-in-law." Okay, that's kind of specific. Well, you find something where there's just like an implication of something that isn't there. Like, "Wishing you a very happy holiday season. Now please calm down for a little bit." Why was that necessary? Why do I need to tell somebody to calm down unless they're completely out of their minds? But apparently there's enough of a market for that kind of a card that they're all over the place. And I can't find one that just simply is from one person to another who doesn't want to express various intimate feelings or religious feelings or cutesy poo feelings. So difficult. Have to figure out how to make my own greeting cards so I don't have to go through that mess. But that's one of the reasons why I felt the need just to get away. Go someplace else. And Germany, I have to say, Germany is number one again. Over the summer, I went to Italy, and that became my favorite country. I went back to Germany. Now that's my favorite country again. So obviously, I have to go back to Italy to sort of see if they can reclaim first place. But just hanging out in Berlin, where it's so low-key and easy to get around. In fact, most of Europe is extremely easy to get around if you've never been there. And spent New Year's. I've never spent New Year's in Berlin. This was the first time I actually did that. Usually, if I go overseas, it's in Amsterdam, and I get to see that whole crazy celebration. Well, I saw something similar in Berlin just a week ago, in fact. I walked through the Brandenburg Gate area, and that went on for miles of all kinds of street stands, people selling all sorts of food and drink. That's the other thing. In Times Square, you don't have street stands that sell bottles of beer that people are just allowed to drink freely, openly. It happens all the time. In fact, that's how I think a large part of the world lives. Here it's a big deal. There it's not. There you can drink at 16. And yet, people are so much better behaved. Yeah, there are some drunken idiots occasionally, but nothing compared to what you see on any night on the Long Island Railroad here. So, it's obviously not working, all the forbidding and controlling. That doesn't work. Over there, it's a lot more open and carefree, but not in a stupid way. For instance, I was walking around. I think I told this story someplace. I was walking around Hauptbahnhof, which is the main train station in Berlin now. They just built a new train station a couple of years ago. And it's amazing. It's this really nice building, huge. And they already had big train stations, but they felt they needed another one. They needed more of a central one. So they managed to do that. They managed to put it together. Even though the city is bankrupt, even though they have all this money they're spending on the reunification process, they're still able to do this, still able to build a really nice structure. While we bicker and can't even rebuild ground zero, let alone build new things and make them look interesting. So I'm walking around this train station, and I realized that at the bottom of the train station, they have tracks 1 through 8? Yeah, and on the upper level, they have tracks 11 through 16. So I was wondering, where's track 9 and 10? I spent what must have been an hour and a half. Of course, I was trying to kill time because I had no place to stay over New Year's Eve. All the hotels were booked up. So I sort of, after going to all the parties, just sort of wandered around the city for a few hours. And I figured I was going to solve this mystery as to where track 9 and 10 in Hauptbahnhof were. So I must have been exploring every single nook and cranny of this particular train station. I could not get away with that in this country. I'd be questioned, I'd be pulled over, I'd be stopped. I'd be seen as a potential threat. But there, you can simply walk around and do your thing. As long as your thing doesn't include destruction or hurting other people, you're left alone. I think that's just a much more healthy way of living. And yeah, maybe they are a bit more vulnerable to certain things. Maybe I could have gotten away with something. But the fact of the matter is, there are very few people who do that kind of thing in our society, in their society. The question is, how do you react to the possibility? If you react like they do in England, where everybody's afraid, and the government has put up surveillance cameras covering virtually every inch of the place, then I think you've lost. I think you've lost. Over there in Germany, though, it's just so much more relaxed. Now, what happens on... You hear that? Oh, it stopped. Okay, there's a grinding noise, and all of a sudden it stopped as soon as I called attention to it. Okay, fine. I'm losing my mind. New Year's Eve, things go completely berserk and crazy throughout the entire city, probably throughout the entire country. And this is where people just start shooting fireworks everywhere. Not only do they shoot them up in the air, and I was told about this, they throw firecrackers at people. It's kind of obnoxious. But it's weird because you sort of get used to it. I know some people don't, but when it happens enough times, you tend to. I saw bottle rockets going out of apartment windows, horizontal to the ground. In other words, one building firing upon another building is the way it seemed to me. For a night, this kind of thing just goes on. In fact, I had a bit of a situation myself where I figured I'd get in the spirit of things. I talked about this last week on Off the Hook, in fact. I get in the spirit of things and get a couple of bottle rockets and take them to the party I was going to, and I did. And the first one went off without any problem. And then I lit the second one, same bottle, pointing straight up into the air, and the thing went straight up and then made a 90-degree turn straight into a balcony of a neighboring apartment. and the entire balcony just lit up red. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a soldier in Iraq. How did this happen? I felt horrible. But it was funny. And nobody got hurt, and there was no damage, and this is the kind of thing that happens. But when and this was actually caught on video, too. I didn't know they were doing this. Somebody actually was filming the whole thing. So this thing is circulating on the net. And some friends of mine saw this, and they're like, you know, you're lucky that you didn't end up in jail or that you're not being sued. And I'm like, that's not how it works over there. That's how it works over here. But over there, everybody is doing this kind of thing. And yeah, bottle rockets do wind up on your balcony occasionally. Firecrackers wind up exploding by your feet. And unless somebody really gets hurt or does something incredibly stupid or malicious, it's brushed off. They cannot understand this. I've tried to explain this to people here, and they simply don't get it. We're so caught up in this confrontational mode of the other guy always being out to get us and how we can possibly use that to our advantage by either suing them or having them locked up. Our whole culture of punishment. It's very hard to shake off. Even when you think you're enlightened enough to realize it, it's hard to just sort of move past that and realize, hey, it doesn't have to matter. So, Berlin is just a very different thing. You have to experience it to understand it, or to even attempt to understand it, as I feel I'm doing. So, yeah, it's a whole different culture, different environment. The hotel I was staying in, for instance, I had to do this. Well, here's a whole big story. I've been trying to get this phone, another thing that that I've been going through for the past couple of months. I actually succeeded. This one phone that I wanted to get that I saw in Brazil, had to go through literally months of searching for it online, trying to find a reputable place that was selling it. And I finally got it. Finally got the phone. And I wanted to get a holder for it so that if I drop it on the floor or something like that, it won't be damaged too badly. And so I got this this holder that actually clips onto my belt. But as it turns out, it's magnetic. It closes using a magnet. And somehow, a couple of my magnetic credit cards got near it, including my my Metro card, and they completely got scrambled. They lost their value, or they didn't lose their value. It just got very, very complicated to sort of figure out how to use them. And this also happened to my hotel key in Berlin. In fact, I was testing it. I wanted to see, is this really going to have an effect? Okay, I'm going to hold this up right next to the little pouch that I have for my phone and see if it messes up the hotel key. That way I know. And sure enough, it did. And I had to go downstairs and get another hotel key. And here's what's different between our country and their country. They asked me what room number I was in. I handed them the card and they simply reprogrammed it. And that was it. There was no further check of my identity to see if I was telling the truth. It was just assumed that I was. So, yeah, I consider that kind of a bad thing. I consider that sort of not very good security. I don't always believe. I mean, Berlin is the kind of place where there isn't much crime. You can leave something out in the hallway and it'll probably still be there. But I don't want to depend on that too much. I would prefer a little bit more of a check to make sure somebody actually has the authority to do what they say they want to do. But it does, it goes to show the dramatic difference between cultures. You'd never see that here. So anyway, on the other thing I had to go through, this is not really related, but when I mentioned credit cards, it sort of reminded me. Have you ever had to activate credit cards? If you've ever had one, they send you one in the mail, and then you have to call them up to activate it. And it's always this whole big thing. You can't just call them up and say, okay, here's my credit card number, please activate it. First of all, you wind up talking to a computer. That doesn't make it any easier because you have to listen to this whole big thing, where you have to enter all your digits and verify various things. Fine, no problem. You do that. Then you have to hold while they activate your card. Like, they have to go someplace and turn a switch someplace and get your card to work. Obviously, as soon as you enter the digits, it's probably active then, but you don't want to hang up, because if you hang up, maybe it didn't take, and maybe you have to do it again, and maybe you'll be embarrassed when you try to use the credit card. So you wait, and while you're waiting, they play you an advertisement, a long advertisement, about some stupid thing that they're selling that they think you might benefit from. There's no way to skip over it. You have to listen to the whole thing. And then finally, when it's over, they say, your card is activated and there's no further action necessary on your part. And this last one I did, you know, I thought I had it outsmarted because it said that. But then it also continued saying that we think that you'd benefit by doing this and this and this. And I wasn't entirely sure that it was completely activated and verified and all that. So I had to stay on even longer and wind up talking to a human being who I got transferred to because I had stayed on the phone. This human being somewhere in the world thought I was interested in buying whatever it is they were peddling. And it was really, really, I don't like to just hang up on people. I said, look, I'm not interested. Are you sure, sir? Because we think that you could really benefit. No, I got to go. My bus is here. Please let me go. So painful. I dread getting new credit cards in the mail because it's so painful to activate them. In fact, if there's a way to do it online, which I don't think there is on the ones I have anyway, I hereby make a vow to do it that way from now on. Boy, it shouldn't be so difficult. All right, as promised, it's 6:36 now, and I would like to take phone calls on the whole election, Obama-Clinton thing that's going on tonight. It's very exciting. Very exciting here in this country. Maybe there'll be something different happening. Our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. And we'd like to take your phone calls, hear your opinions on just where the whole electoral process is going, whether or not you think this is a good development, whether you think Obama will bring any change, whether you think he's electable, or anything else that's on your mind. So what we're going to do, and hopefully I won't mess this up again, we're going to play an ID from somebody, then I'll come back, but by that time, I'll be in delay, but you probably won't know it.
This is T-Bone Burnett saying don't believe anything that you hear, except for the wild truth on WUSB.
And here I am in delay, but I won't know it's working for another 6 seconds, so forgive me while I banter on and listen to make sure. All right, I seem to have made it. Okay, 631-632-9872 is our phone number, 631-632-WUSB. In today's polling, so far, well, it's happening right now, actually, and it'll keep happening, I think until, what, 8 o'clock, 8:30? They always have this first community in New Hampshire. This one, I think, is called Dixville Notch. What kind of a name is that? And they have, like, what, 3 people in the town? No? 17? Okay, 17 people in the town. turnout was 100%. And here's what happened. On the Democratic side, Obama won a landslide 7 votes compared with 2 for John Edwards, 1 for Bill Richardson, and 0 for Hillary Clinton. 0. Wow. Okay. On the Republican side, McCain had 4 votes, Mitt Romney had 2, Rudy Giuliani had 1, and those are the only Republican votes cast. All right. Let's hear your opinions on what's going on with the whole electoral process. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Let me finish
the sentence first. Yeah, you're on Off the Wall. Go ahead.
Yes, okay. All right, my name is Henry. I'm calling from Connecticut. I hear what you're saying about Germany. I'm German extraction myself. And it kind of startles me what you're saying, because what you're telling me is like is almost verbatim of what I've been hearing for umpteen years with all the stupid moralistic nonsense in this country. And I heard you mention about the drinking. And by the way, I don't know if you people realize this, but New Jersey raised the age of smoking from 18 to 19.
I didn't know that.
So we can come back and die and come back in body bags in Iraq. You know, teenagers, I'm older, a little older than a teenager, but I'm still young. But they can come back, you know, but I have a few teen friends.
Uh-huh.
They can come back in body bags in Iraq at 18, but they got to be 21 to drink, and they got to be this and that. Now, I want to tell you something else. By the way, is there a way I can get a tape recording of just of what you said on your show and this show today? Is there some way I can send for that?
Well,
I really would like to get it.
Do you have access?
Because I like other people hear just what you said.
Well, thanks.
It's very interesting. It's very fascinating.
Gotta listen to me,
what
though.
You're saying about compare the Europe to the United States, because that's what I'm writing a book on.
Well, okay. Do you have access to the internet? Did I say something offensive? He just hung up as soon as I said internet. I'm sorry. Is that the bad word of the day? All right. Well, if you do have, if you're listening out there, sir, if you have access to the internet, 631-632-9872 is our phone number. Go to www.2600.com/offthewall. You'll find all the shows there, including this one, for download and for streaming. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Derek. I'm sorry.
Where are you calling from?
I'm over in Selwyn. How you doing?
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
Well, first thing, is that last caller's voice not familiar to you, sir?
I can't remember the voice of...
Yeah, fair enough. On WBAI, I've heard him call for 15 years and spew this neo-Nazi, LaRussian, racist
okay.
stuff.
Well, listen, let's not attack each other, okay?
Okay,
let's
I'm
try
not,
and get through the night.
Eric, dude, if we can't attack Nazis, who can we attack?
Well, I don't know. First, you got to define them as Nazis. You got to find the Nazis, make sure they're actually Nazis. You're saying because some guy sounds like a Nazi to you that he's a Nazi, and I don't buy it.
And
sorry.
I recognize his voice.
All
right,
fine. Whatever. What's on your mind? That's what I'd like to know.
Okay, I know. I felt I had an obligation to call that racist out. Okay.
Okay. Duly noted.
My mind is the issue of when you said Hillary mm-hmm. represents the old machine and Barack, maybe the new, I want to disagree in the sense that, yeah, she's old machine, but in the same sense, Republicans, they're older machine, okay? And whatever difference there is between Democrats and Republicans, if there is a difference, if you want to talk about the environment, you know, like RFK Jr., I mean, you know, he's documented it well about all the crimes, all the regulatory stuff that the Republicans completely roll back in laws, okay? The uh-huh. Democrats are for that. If they're corrupt in terms of their Iraq, you know, not corrupt. If they're going to be, you know, no good on the, you know, issues of the Pentagon, you know, the war. If we can't get the Democrats to, you know, be, you know, like what you and I would like about the war issues, okay, international war. Okay, we can't change them there. But on the I feel very passionately that they do really represent a different force in the world than the Republican corporations, 100%
okay.
corporations. Democrats are 50% corporate.
All right,
you know,
I don't think I was,
a distinction. Now,
I don't
Barack,
think I'm saying
I mean,
that.
Okay, I mean...
Yeah, any Republican obviously is going to be further to the right than any Democrat. I think that's a
okay,
foregone conclusion.
And, you know, and I mean, and you say, well, what does it matter? You're right. In terms of the war, it probably doesn't make much of a difference in terms of internet. You know, the war, again, the issue of a phrase called permanent government, which decides who the president will be, you know, trilateral commission, the whole conspiracy
okay.
bag, which has some validity. Come
Let me ask you a simple question, if I may. Do you prefer Hillary to Obama?
I was going to say about Obama. Let's say that's the same Democratic. There'll be different from the Republicans. They're not. They can be any different from each other. Okay. And she has a whole lot more experience. But maybe again, it's all about the you know, who your advisors are. It doesn't matter who the figurehead president is. It's the cabinet or the people behind the cabinet which make the policy. You know. And so
you're not answering my question.
Look at how the corporations, you know, the insurance companies, destroyed her back in 94
okay.
when she talked about that.
So should I assume you're a Hillary supporter?
No, I'm just saying that. I'm telling you, I'm not a supporter of anyone. I'm having a discussion with you, man, about the difference between Barack
okay.
and Hillary right now. Okay, they're both Democrats, and they're both be better than the Republicans.
I agree with that. Obviously, I think anybody virtually would be better than the Republicans at this point. But I'm just asking you, which would be better
okay.
of the
do
two?
Do I think Barack's going to make a better than Hillary? No. Same game. They're controlled by people bigger than them. Okay?
All right. Thanks for your call. Let's move on. You know, I just realized something, and this kind of bothers me. I said Hillary and I said Obama. I used his last name and her first name. I don't think that means I'm guilty of sexism or anything like that, does it? Because everyone is referring to her as Hillary, not as Clinton. And I think the reason for that is because there's another Clinton And she pushes herself as Hillary. It's not my fault, is it? I don't know. I'll have to do some soul-searching after the program. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Here's what happened. I accidentally pressed the stupid receiver because everything over here...
Oh, this is a Connecticut caller again. Okay.
Dumb.
Well, now you have
and
a horrible...
accidentally
you
hung
got
up.
Static on your line.
This is Henry again from Connecticut.
I can barely hear
you
me even less.
You gave a website. What is the website again?
www.2600.com/off-the-wall.
All right, 2600.com. That means I put the number 2600 and then .com and then /off.
Off the wall as one word.
Off the wall.
Right.
And look for the one that's today is, what, the 8th of January?
Yeah, it won't be there. Well, obviously it won't be there until the show's over, but
no,
probably...
No, it won't be there for like a week or two.
No, well, it won't be there. No, it'll be there tonight, but it'll be a little while.
Like about, what, 2 weeks?
No, no, it'll be there in like 2 hours probably.
All right, wait. All right, January 8th.
Yeah.
2008.
Yes.
Okay. And this is Tuesday.
Yeah, no, we've gotten the date down.
All right. Now, what I was going to say, I'll make this quick.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is that when you mentioned about the drinking at 16.
Yes.
And by the way, I agree with that. I thought this country is stupid because the emphasis is too much on behavior and moral values and crap. I won't go too far because I'll start to really explode when I talk about.
I'm used to it.
Socially. But I don't know if you realize this, but it's not just the drinking. Which I thought is also good, is that you in Denmark even, it's not just Germany too, Belgium, Switzerland, Austria,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Central and Northern European countries, you could be 16 and also have sex with anybody, 17, 18, whether 20, 25, 30, 40, or 50,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to worry about that other person going to jail. It's only if I think they're 14 and under, I think.
Well, people are treated as adults at a much earlier age, it seems, and they also seem to act a bit more responsibly. Not saying everybody does, but they do tend to, from what I've noticed.
Well, not only that, even if they don't act responsibly, I think there's too much of this country focus on morality and stuff, and I think a lot of that comes from that, excuse the expression, but that older... much, much older S generation
mm-hmm.
that running Bush, running Hillary, telling them what to do, that are very old, that are running the Federal Reserve and everything. And they have some people over there, too, you know, masonry and stuff, running some things in Europe, too. But for some reason, they would like to make Europe like the United States
mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways.
Oh, of course.
Multiculturally, probably religiously and everything else, but it's just not working. Helmut Kohl even said that.
Mm-hmm.
He made a comment when they tried to integrate all these different races and cultures into Germany, and he said that with the Europeans is not going to work. And, of course, he made that comment after he stepped down and then Schroeder took over. But it's not just Germany. Sexually, those European countries, period, and including Australia, okay, including Australia, including Iceland, which is like an island in between Australia, I mean between Europe and Greenland, none of them seem to have the attitude with sexuality or a lot of things, especially with their younger people or even in general,
mm-hmm.
with people in general, even young or even middle-aged or older, like the United States does and possibly Canada. And it's just S. S-H-I-T.
Okay, we can't even spell words like that. All right, folks, 631-632-9872. We have one call on the line. I don't want to just go back and forth between two calls, so show me that there's more than two people listening, and we'll take some phone calls. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Some letters that we've gotten in the past couple of weeks. A lot of feedback to the December 25th show. And again, let me apologize for that, for those of you who didn't hear it. We had some technical problems and resulted in some embarrassment for us. And if you want to laugh at us, I guess you can listen to the archive. It's online. In regards to the December 25th episode of Off the Wall, LOL, capital letters. I don't know what that means. I see that all the time. It's always directed at me, LOL. What does that mean? I can relate to the predicament Mr. Goldstein finds himself in, or rather trying to get out of. Thanks for the laughs and good cheers. Hope you the best. Hope you the best in 2008. Well, thanks, AB, for the sentiment anyway. A little puzzled why you're laughing at us. Emmanuel, I was listening to the most recent Off the Wall in MP3 form. It's tough for me to get to a shortwave at 7 on a Tuesday. Well, you know, even if you did get to a shortwave at 7 on a Tuesday, first of all, the show is at 6, and second of all, we're not on shortwave. But regardless, it's the effort that counts, I guess. Your voice kept getting faster and faster. You weren't talking faster, however. The MP3 was playing your voice faster. It got to the point where it was almost impossible to hear you. Just thought you'd like to know. Signed, Nito. Nito, thanks for letting us know. We are aware of that, and there was a, I understand, a problem with the microphone. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Emmanuel, I finally got around to listening to the podcast of your Christmas show last night. That was hysterical. Talk about commitment to the gag. Best wishes for a beautiful 2008, Brian. You know, Brian, your mail echoes that of many people, and I'm a bit mystified as to what this gag was and what everybody's laughing at. Here's another one. I'd like to congratulate and thank you for an amazing yet surprisingly well put together show. Man, it had me in stitches. I really didn't get it at first, but you used your need to rant on and on about a subject to your advantage, and when the music kicked in, I was rolling with laughter. I wouldn't say your collection of music is horrible, as you put it. I would say it's questionable. Fair enough. And the GSM signal, I rewound the MP3 each time to make sure it was a recording. Yeah, we did have actually a GSM, you know, that little beeping noise. I can't imitate it. I'm not good at imitating machine noises, but you've heard it. I'm sure you have. And if you haven't heard it, you can listen to the December 25th show. And just at the point where I'm trying to drive my car up a hill, you hear the GSM interference, which you hear a lot in Europe, actually. Anyway, that was quite possibly the best pre-recorded show I've ever heard. Thank you for thinking of your listeners. That, sir, was truly off the wall. Signed, Pat. And this letter just came in today. Are you trying to get me arrested? Good Lord, no. I'm finally catching up to some of the oldest shows. While you had time to be in the studio on December 25th, and I was in the studio on December 25th, so let's just make clear on that, all right? People are implying that I was actually out at a bar at some point, ordering drinks, and someone else said I was in a disco on Christmas Day, not in the studio. Hang your head in shame. I think I said that then, too, for people that would actually think such a thing. Anyway, yes, I was in the studio on December 25th. I was in a bus on my way to the city where my parents live, and this afternoon I was in a city bus, and you spend a lot of time in buses, don't you? I was listening to that show on my cell phone, and there I was in a quiet bus, bursting out laughing for what appeared to everyone else to be absolutely no reason. You know, there's nothing funny about that show, so I don't know what the reason was. They kept looking at me like I was crazy. Maybe you are crazy, laughing at a show like that. Some people even got up to go sit at another seat in the bus. The ultimate insult. I made it home okay without getting arrested this time, but please be more careful in the future. Thank you, Russell from Ottawa, Ontario. Well, thanks, Russell, for writing in. We have one call. Come on. We can do better than this. 631-632-9872. We're deciding the future of the country tonight. And we are, for some reason. For some reason, this will decide it. New Hampshire gets to decide. Well, Iowa sort of gets to decide. I don't think New Hampshire would be voting the way it is if they didn't see what happened in Iowa. I mean, is that really the way it works? You just take a random group of people, a small group of people, and all of a sudden everyone else is going to do the same thing? It's hard to believe. All right, one more letter. Dear Off the Wall, I think the year in review show was great. Keep up the travel. Iran is next, right? Signed, Luke. Yeah, Luke, right. I'm going to go to Iran. Let's take phone calls. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
I've been trying to get through, but I'm on T-Mobile, and it seems like after a minute or so, it just hangs up.
That's probably just the greed of the phone company saying that you're not connecting, so therefore your call has no value, and they're going to disconnect you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
New York. So what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say that this primary season is positively exhilarating. I mean, I've never been too involved in politics before this year, but now it's become almost a pop culture phenomenon, like American Idol.
Well, I don't know if that's a good thing, is it? I mean, I guess our election system is sort of like that to start with.
Well, it's getting people interested in politics, and I don't think I'm the only one. I mean, in tonight's primary, I'm sure they're reporting to have an almost 70% voter turnout, and that's among registered voters.
Wow.
But general elections are extremely lucky to see that kind of result. I mean, they see typically around 50%.
Uh-huh.
And now we have 70% in a primary.
And you know what's good about this, especially in the case of Obama, is that a lot of young people are turning out. And I think young people will feel really empowered if they feel that they've been able to actually turn this country in a different direction.
Well, I found that young people have become energized before, but usually it's about the campaign, and then they tend not to show up during the elections or the primaries.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I guess it's still nice to see that some people still believe in democracy.
Now, do you have any particular favorite here?
Well, I mean, it's complicated, you know, but I guess in terms of the Democrats, I am rooting for Obama, not because I agree with a lot of his policies, but because it seems like he's more earnest than everybody else, and you know, it just seems like a good direction the country is going in.
He seems to want to engage people who disagree with him, whereas I think Hillary wants to dismiss those people. That's just the impression I get from listening to them talk.
Absolutely. And in fact, Hillary is the one doing all the attack ads and trying to target Obama and try to knock him down. And he's doing the only brilliant thing he can do. Instead of engaging her and clashing with her, he's basically just ignoring everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's just concentrating on his campaign, getting his message out. And, you know, I like that in a candidate, somebody doesn't go negative all the time. But what I wanted to say, it's been bothering me for a long time. You know, there are a lot of people who say, oh, we're not ready for a black president, or we're not ready for a woman president.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are completely small-minded and wrong. But then there are these other people who have either white guilt or male guilt or whatever. They feel compelled to vote for someone because they don't want people to think they're racist or sexist.
Right.
Oh, it's okay to vote for who you think has the best policies. I mean, not voting for a woman does not make you sexist. Not voting for a black man does not make you racist. I mean, look at the policies you agree with and vote with your conscience, for Pete's sake.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, remember, it is a secret ballot, so you can vote your conscience and feel that, you know, it's safe.
Exactly. But, you know, usually people ask, you know, who are you voting for, who are you voting for, and people get very self-conscious about that, even more about than the question of how much money do you make work, you know?
Although in this particular case, I do think the symbolic value of electing a young black president, that itself will just, I don't know, be a shot in the arm this country really needs, don't you think?
You know, I think you're probably right. And, you know, I hope he gets the nomination so we'll have an interesting dialogue between the Democrats and Republicans in the general. I just have one more question.
Yeah.
When do the CCC seminars go online, or if they're going online at all?
They usually go online within a couple of weeks after the conference is over. I'm not sure what the link is. Hopefully ccc.de, their main website, has a link to it. I know it was kind of hard to find the actual streams during the conference because it wasn't on that site.
Are they going to be free, or is it part of a subscription? Or you have to
It's free online, as far as I know. The reason for the delay is they put titling in, and that takes a little bit of time.
I get it.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth checking out if you didn't make it over there. All right, thanks. Thanks for your call. See if we can squeeze in one more. No, they hung up. Let's try this one. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please. Quickly.
Hi, I'm here talking about Ron Paul.
Ron Paul, go ahead. He's one of the ones who has not been given much press time. You have 1 minute.
He has not been, and I want to discuss what his views are, what your views are. Sorry.
Well, can you do it quickly? Because we're pretty much out of time.
Ron Paul is the only, you know, candidate on either side who's basically not CFR backed, and he's not getting the recognition that he deserves. And I think a lot of the votes have been taken away from Ron Paul because of Obama, and Obama is a CFR-backed candidate, in my opinion, not a very good, suitable president.
Tell listeners what CFR is.
It's the Council on Foreign Relations,
okay.
And they make a lot of decisions, foreign relations-wise, like on our policy, our foreign policy. They're all fiscally motivated, so very, very evil. They're up for profits.
Okay, so, I wish I could see more of the candidates that have less of a chance engage in the debates and get equal time, because I think they at least, if they didn't have a chance themselves, they at least push the other candidates into taking positions on things they might not have a chance to otherwise. Let's talk about this in a future show, because we're out of time now. But thanks for calling, and thanks everybody else for taking part. It should be interesting watching the news tonight, seeing how this whole thing goes. By next week at this time, who knows? It might be a completely different race. We'll see if Hillary Clinton is even still in it at that point, or if she completely shakes up her strategy. All right. Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Have a good night.
Oh, you tell me that your last good dollar is gone, and you say that your pockets are bare. And you tell me that your clothes are tattered and torn, and nobody seems to care. Now don't tell me your troubles, no, I don't have the time to spare. But if you want to get together and fight, good buddy, that's what I want to hear. And you tell me that your job was taken away by a big old greasy machine. And you tell me that you don't collect no more pay, and your belly is growing lean. Now if I had the jobs to give, you know I'd give them all away. But don't waste your breath calling out my name if you don't have nothing to say. And you tell me that you don't have nothing to do, and you keep on wasting your time. And you say when you want to get your family some food, you gotta spend it ain't really fine. Now it's a sin and a bloody shame about the way they're pushing you around. But when you decide not to take no more, you know I'll put my money down. 'Cause I've seen your kind many times before, and I'll see you many times again. Oh, but every bad thing that's happened to you has happened to better men. So don't explain that you've lost your way, that you've got no place to go. You got a hand and a voice, and you're not alone, brother. That's all you need to know. And if you're still wondering what I'm trying to say, let me tell you what it's all about. Now nobody listens to a single man when he's walking round down and out. So if you're looking for an answer, he's standing there by your side. And you'll never really know how far you'll go till you join together and try. Tell me that your last good dollar is gone, and you say that your pockets are bare. And you tell me that your clothes are tattered and torn, and nobody seems to care. Now don't tell me your troubles, no, I don't have the time to spare. But if you want to get together and fight, good buddy, that's what I want to hear.
Phil Oakes right here on WUSB Stony Brook. My name is Finn, and this is Finn's Revolution.
I see a mansard roof through the trees. I see a salty message written in the eaves. The ground.